Saturday, February 14th. Memorial of St. Valentine, Martyr. The lesson from Wisdom chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. The Lord conducted the just through the right ways, and showed him the kingdom of God, and gave him the knowledge of holy things, made him honorable in his labors, and accomplished his labors. In the deceit of them that overreached him, he stood by him, and made him honorable. He kept him safe from his enemies, and he defended him from seducers, and gave him a strong conflict, that he might overcome, and know that wisdom is mightier than all. He forsook not the just when he was sold, but delivered him from sinners. He went down with him into the pit, and in bands he left him not, till he brought him the scepter of the kingdom, and power against those that oppressed him, and showed them to be liars that had accused him, and the Lord our God gave him everlasting glory. Haydock Commentary. The Lord conducted the just through the right ways, and showed him the kingdom of God. This refers to Jacob, and his vision of heaven open, and the angels ascending and descending, in Genesis 38:12. He kept him safe from his enemies, that is, Laban and Esau, and gave him a strong conflict when he wrestled with the angel. He forsook not the just when he was sold, but delivered him from sinners. This refers to Joseph. He was sold by his brothers, and he was delivered from sin, that is, the sin of adultery. He went down with him into the pit, or prison, to which he was confined at the instigation of Potiphar's wife, always preserving his virtue. He had also been put down into a real pit by his brothers. He brought him the scepter of the kingdom, that is, the kingdom of Egypt, which he ruled under Pharaoh. See Genesis 41:40. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 42. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I came to send peace upon earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that shall lose his life for me shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the reward of a prophet, and he that receiveth a just man in the name of a just man shall receive the reward of a just man. And whosoever shall give to drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, amen, I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." Haydock Commentary. I came not to send peace, but the sword, that is, dissension and war, in order that the false peace of sinners may be destroyed, and that those who follow me may differ in morals and affections from the followers of this world. The sword, therefore, is the gospel, which separates those who remain in infidelity. It must be observed that the gospel does not necessarily of itself produce dissensions amongst men, but that Christ foresaw from the depravity of man's heart that dissensions would follow the propagation of the gospel. The blame of this, however, does not attach to the gospel itself, since those who embrace it, after their conversion, sought more than ever to keep peace with all men, even with their most bitter persecutors, whilst those who rejected the gospel, forgetting even the ties of kindred, persecuted even to death the followers of Christ. Origen says, "Before Christ became man, there was no sword upon the earth, that is, the Spirit had not to fight with so much violence against the flesh. But when he became man, he showed us what things were of the flesh and what of the Spirit, and taught us to set these two at variance by renouncing always those of the flesh, which constantly endeavor to get master over us, and to instead follow the dictates of the Spirit." I came to set a man at variance against his father, etc. Not that this was the end or design of the coming of our Savior, but that his coming and his doctrine would have this effect by reason of the obstinate resistance that many would make, and of their persecuting all such as should adhere to him. The Scriptures teach us to love everyone without exception, and especially our kindred. But Christ says this to show and foretell what would happen in the same families when some of them were Christians. We have many instances of this in the lives of the saints. No one can be connected with the earth and joined to heaven. Those who wish to enjoy the peace of heaven must not be united to the lovers of this world by any connection. A man's enemies are those of his own household. He here alludes to our own passions of love, hatred, anger, envy, etc., which are our greatest enemies, and it is against these that we must make use of the sword our Savior came to send amongst men. There are two kinds of crosses which our Savior here commands us to take up, one corporal and the other spiritual. By the former he commands us to restrain the unruly appetites of the touch, taste, sight, etc. By the other, which is far more worthy of our notice, he teaches us to govern the affections of the mind, and to restrain all its irregular motions by humility, tranquility, modesty, peace, etc. Precious indeed in the sight of God, and glorious is that cross, which governs and brings under proper rule the lawless passions of the mind. So says St. Augustine. He that finds in this life pleasures and comforts, and places his affections upon them, will certainly soon lose them, for Isaiah says, "All flesh is grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of the field." The grass is withered, and the flower is fallen. So man's glory seems to flourish and appears great, but falls away and dies before it has come to its full bloom. For what duration is there in the flesh, and what stability in the pleasures of this world? Today you may behold a young man, strong, beautiful, healthy, admired, and flourishing in virtue, and tomorrow you will find him quite changed, oppressed with either sin, labor, want, or sickness. So says St. Ambrose. He who continues moderately happy as to temporal concerns until death, and places his affections on them, he has found life here, but shall lose it in the next world. But he that shall, for the sake of Christ, deprive himself of the pleasures of this life, shall receive the reward of a hundredfold in the next.